We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction.
Good morning, America.
Underneath,
you're listening to the RBN Radio Broadcasting Network, the Darren Weeks Show, Govern America. I am Patrick Wood, sitting in for Darren today. I thank you, my friend, for allowing me the privilege to guest host your show, if you will. Darren has other obligations this morning. He asked me to take his spot, and so here we are. And folks, we have a great show in line for you today. Again, my name is Patrick Wood. I'm the editor of the August Forecast and Review. You can find my site at augustreview.com or augustforecast.com, and we'd be pleased to have you there. This morning, just interestingly, the lead story on the main RBN website, that's republicbroadcasting.org, the top story on the U.S. News listing is "No More Privacy. Smart meters are surveillance devices that monitor the behavior in your home every single minute of every single day." And there's a story behind that. You can click on that link and get it. But the reason I bring this up is that I didn't put that story there. I don't know exactly who's in charge of the editorial content, but there is that link. And we're going to be talking this morning about where Smart Meter came from. And we're going to be talking about the subject of technocracy. And this is going to be a fascinating show. I know that Darren's talked about this before. He's had me on his program a couple of times. I know that he very much gets the subject of technocracy. And we're going to try and explore that this morning, what that means. I have for our guest this morning two eminent researchers in this area. This is not opinionated fluff, by the way. This is hardcore research that we have done and that that my guests have done to bring you, really documented research on technocracy, smart grid, and so on. How it is affecting our lives, and so on. Our first guest this morning is Mr. Carl Tykrib. Actually, he's Canadian citizen. He lives in Canada, but he is a preeminent researcher on globalism, globalization. And Carl is going to be with us this morning. Carl, if you're there, chime in.
Yes, I am. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, that's great. Good morning, Carl. Good to have you here. It's 5 o'clock Pacific time. It's only 8 o'clock your time. This is good. But we're going to cover technocracy this morning. And some of you at least, this is going to be a new topic you've never heard of before. Is that what on earth are they talking about? And so we'll start out, Carl. We just got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but maybe you would be comfortable trying to crystallize in 30 to 45 seconds, what the heck is technocracy? When we use that word, what are we talking about?
It is the idea that experts will be in control of your destiny. And that really is it in a nutshell. They will do it through technology. They will do it through specialization. They will do it through science. They will do...
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Week show, Government America. I'm Patrick Wood, editor of the August Forecast and Review, sitting in for Darren today. We're going to be continuing the discussion about technocracy. I have as our guest today Mr. Carl Tykrib from Canada, and he's a preeminent researcher in this area. He has been my colleague as I have done research on technocracy in the past few years, and together we have compared notes. Kicked each other around and hopefully come to a knowledge of some of the truth about technocracy, at least. Carl, welcome back. Thank you for taking time to be on the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you. This is an interesting subject, and it's one that I'm sure most people will be scratching their heads over and be saying, well, what is this all about? Where is this going? And what does it mean to me? And boy, Pat, you and I, we've wrestled with this. The implications are huge.
They really are, and technocracy can be defined in two ways, by the way. If you, Webster's Dictionary would give you a definition something like this. Very simple, government by technicians. Another alternate is management of society by technical experts. And I think this rings true with a lot of people. It's, you know, they feel like regulators are choking them to death. And the whole area of smart grid, of course, which is putting these little digital meters, electrical meters, on the side of everybody's home to communicate your energy data back to the utility company. People can understand rule by technicians, and There's a second definition, though, that's even more important, and that's technocracy with a capital T. And in that case, it wraps in all of the other concepts, but technocracy with a capital T was a movement from the 1930s that proposed this, that it said it intended to replace the economic system based on energy distribution and consumption run by engineers, scientists, and technicians. This was to replace the existing economic order, which is based on price. And that, of course, is the currencies and the money and the Keynesian economics and Austrian economics and all that stuff, was to be replaced by an energy-based system that would be run by these engineers, scientists, and technicians. This, then, is not only an economic system, but also a political system. And if we have time, we might even get in and talk about the religious aspects of technocracy. It's a fascinating topic.
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, I just remember, Pat, when you and I first started down this road, what really got our attention was the issue of carbon offsets and the creation of a carbon currency. And as this idea was being kicked around, both within the financial community and within the climate change community, we very quickly came to realize that when you change money or look to change money into something like this, in a form of a type of an energy unit, the ability now to control people's movements, to control people's lives, the ability to be able to actually insert science and technology into guiding and changing our behavior, it becomes very, very real, because this is what moves us, this is what shapes us, this is what changes us. And if all of a sudden our purchasing power is replaced by something that is connected to how much energy we consume, and it could be done through a smart card of sorts, now all of a sudden we've opened up a whole new world of possibilities for managing you right at the micro level. And I remember, Pat, when we were first batting this around, and then you said, hey, Carl, have you ever heard of technocracy? And I, you know, something in the back of my head was rattling around, but not really. And then we took a look at technocracy as a movement in the 1930s. And I realized that there are striking parallels between that movement back then and the idea today of a green economy based on technology. And a whole new idea of what money will look like through the idea of carbon offset and a carbon currency. And then, of course, that fits hand in glove with smart metering, because now you have the monitoring capability of regulating and managing your home right at your level through basically a type of automated system that will be able to track and be able to regulate the use of your energy supply as deemed fit by some pre-calculated computer program and the engineers behind that. I look at this and I go, boy, oh boy, you know, maybe there are individuals involved with these schemes that believe they're doing it for nebulous reasons, or they're, you know, at the very least, or altruistic reasons at the very best. But I look at this, Pat, and I scratch my head and go, this is the tools of dictatorship. The tyrants of the past would have loved to have had this type of literally hands-on approach right at the level of the home, right at the level of your wallet, right at the level of you as an individual. Because face it, you use energy. You're all about using energy. You're either creating it or you're consuming it, and the vast majority of us consume it.
And this energy footprint, if you will, that they claim each one of us has, that is how much we consume and how much we produce, your energy footprint is how you are valued by society. In other words, if you have a poor energy footprint, then you're liable not to get all the services of society that other people might have. For instance, if you're If you have a handicap or if you're old and can't produce and work anymore and you have way too many surgeries every year, whatever, if you are taking more out of society than you're putting in, you may be subject to either getting cut off or limited in your access to resources in the society. This measure of efficiency is what engineers and scientists, et cetera, are all about. This is pretty much one of the main driving forces of technocracy in the 1930s was they wanted to achieve a new type of efficiency that had never existed before. That's why they wanted to measure everything in terms of energy. How much did it take to make that shirt? How much does it take to, you know, to provide an automobile to you to drive? How much does it require to transmit energy from point A to point B? And they wanted to make an efficient society. They believed that science had the answer to social engineering. And the danger, of course, is that there was really no political check and balance on this. This was science and engineering was outside of the political realm at that point. And so we're all being measured by our footprint, our carbon footprint, as they call it. And this is dangerous. There was an interesting leave it to engineers to do this. Engineers are wonderful about making requirements analyses for their projects. Give an engineer a project, first thing he does, he sits down, he makes a requirement analysis where he decides, what do I need to put into this project to make it work? What's the goal? What is it going to look like when I'm finished? And in 1932, when the organization Technocracy, Inc. first got kicked off, there was a publication produced by the co-founders of that organization called the Technocracy Study Course. And on page 232, they listed the five requirements required to implement technocracy in society. And these requirements are being met today to the letter, which gives a link that is to deny this link would be ridiculous because when all these requirements match with the current outcome, you know that you have a direct correlation. One of the things, the very first thing that they said that they had to do was register on a continuous 24-hour-per-day basis the total net conversion of energy. That's a direct quote. Secondly, by means of the registration of energy converted and consumed, make possible a balanced load. Number three, provide a continuous inventory of all production and consumption. Number four, provide a specific registration of the type, kind, et cetera, of goods and services where produced and where used. And lastly, provide specific registration of the consumption of each individual plus a record and description of the individual. Carl, is this what we see working out in modern technocracy today?
We do. We certainly do. And, of course, now we have the technical ability to do it. Before, this was something you could do on paper. This was a messy idea, if you really think about it, from a 1930s technological perspective. Yes, there were things in play that allowed them to at a limited level, tackle a project like this. But it was only with the advent of modern computer technology, modern automation, to the point where what we see now that we have the actual technical tools to make this work. And there's one other component with technocracy, and it's something that is I know that the original founders of technocracy didn't really feel that this was a strong direction for it. They viewed it, of course, as being a pure engineering aspect, but it's the idea that behind it all requires a bureaucracy, a specialized bureaucracy.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to the Darren Weeks Show, Govern America. We have a lot more straight ahead.
Are Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, folks, to Covered America, hosted normally by Darren Weeks. I'm Patrick Wood, editor of the August Forecast and Review. You can see my work at augustforecast.com or augustreview.com. Some of you will know that I am normally an expert on globalization, the Trilateral Commission in particular. I do quite a bit of work with finance. I write a financial newsletter. And I've recently become very interested in the subject of technocracy. I think this is something that we have missed historically, and so we're studying it. This morning we're discussing this with Carl Teichrib, a researcher in this area. He's done a lot of writing with me, a lot of research with me on this. This is critical, critical information. And one of the things that I want to pick up again on, Carl, is that the nature of technocracy, which was actually kind of formally started in the 1930s, the early 1930s, it existed as a philosophy sort of kicking it around before that. The seeds of it can be seen back as early as probably even 1750, but we see the formal expression starting with Technocracy, Inc. in the 1930s. We see the continuation of the concept of technocracy going forward from there. We saw it at Columbia University and carried forward and so on. But one of the things about technocracy that we've kicked around is that many countries throughout the world have adopted the tenets of technocracy into their political and economic systems. And it seems like technocracy seeks to have a host where it can operate freely. And as you mentioned earlier, it tends to like dictatorships rather than countries that have democracy, for instance, or a republic or a parliament where you have to deal with a bunch of people to get anything done. Rather, with a dictatorship, it's pretty easy just to say, hey, let's do this, and that's the way it's going to be. So we've seen technocracy find its way into China, into Chile, for instance, and some other countries, some other Asian countries. There's been a strong influence in Japan. Carl, what is it about technocracy that just kind of causes it to be like a parasite?
Well, first of all, it's based on the idea, of course, of maximum efficiency. And that seems like a noble goal in many respects. I mean, when you start a project, you want to look for the most efficient means of getting a project done. But what it does do, Pat, is it essentially dehumanizes those people underneath that particular system. And it is a system. It's about a process. And that's the important part here. The process becomes more important than the people. And so what you have going on is people become nothing more than an energy unit. They become nothing more than a cog in the machine. You become nothing more than a number. And we've all heard that saying used many times, you know, you're just a number, or don't be such a number. Well, in a technocracy, that's all you are. And now it depends how well you as a number operate in the efficiency of the entire system. And so you see China. China's a perfect example. It is, in many respects, a modern-day technocracy. Yes, there's other elements going on at the same time. And that's the beauty of technocracy. It can fit, basically, almost within any particular scheme. But the more authoritarian, the better, because you can then exert it at its maximum, at the maximum level. It can become efficient without necessarily having to deal with parliaments or congresses. But you will need a level of bureaucrats, a level of specialists, those people who will be involved more or less in making sure that the machine runs smoothly. And heaven help you if all of a sudden you get stuck between the gears. I've seen this even just to a limited extent in North America. As you're dealing with bureaucracies, and all of a sudden you're realizing, well, how come I can't get anything done? I'm just not going anywhere. I've got nothing but problems. I'm on the phone constantly, babbling back and forth with mid-level and low-level bureaucrats, and it doesn't seem that common sense prevails. And if it doesn't prevail, because you're thinking about it in the wrong way. You're thinking about it in the sense of a humanizing aspect. Technocracy and bureaucracy, because it fits hand in glove in many respects, it's all about making sure that the larger machine works. And if all of a sudden your humanity has gotten in the way of that, well, tough. Too bad. Because what is of prime importance is making sure the process is in play and it is being done at its most efficient, most maximum level possible. And so that's why I'm looking at smart metering. I'm looking at the idea of carbon currencies. You're as well. I mean, Pat, you've tackled the subject inside and out. And we're realizing that, boy, when it comes to being a number, technocracy, by its nature, make sure that that's all you are. Throw your humanity away, Pat. You're nothing but an energy unit. And if you're not playing right, if you're not playing for the maximum efficiency in this system, well, we've got to change you. We've got to make sure that your behavior falls in line with the new standards. And in this sense, we're talking about global standards. And that's something I've been telling people, you know, quit thinking about the idea of global governance in the idea of a political aspect. That's there.
Carl, we'll be right back after this break. We've got to take a bottom of the hour break. This is Patrick Wood sitting in for Darren Weeks. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Trouble on the way, folks. This is the Darren Weeks Show, Govern America. We are back live again. My name is Patrick Wood, sitting in for Darren today. I'm the editor of the August Review and the August Forecast, and you'll want to see some of the material we're talking about today on augustreview.com. You can get a hold of my short compilation of articles called The Technocracy Papers. You go to augustreview.com. You'll also find some information on Carl's website, which is forcingchange.com. And that's a premium website, excellent material. You can subscribe by going to his website, and you'll find some additional information there. And we're talking about it in some detail this morning. That is the subject of technocracy, how it fits into this movement towards smart meters. And I know, Carl, that people are really interested in the smart meter aspect of what's going on, and I think we ought to talk about that just for a second, because this involves not only just the United States, it involves North America, it involves Canada, Mexico, and so on. But one of the things about technocracy that we'll see is that it's been very pervasive in the last century all the way through to today. And I will suggest, since technocracy is not a mainstream political movement in the sense of Republicans, Democrats, and so on, technocracy cannot be fought by political means. This is, I think, one reason why we have lost so many battles along the way, if you will, as we've tried to combat things like Agenda 21 and, you know, the United Nations policies and global warming, things like that. We've been very unsuccessful at stopping these things and turning them around because we've attempted to do it with a political process. And technocracy does not operate within the traditional political process. It seems to embed itself kind of like crabgrass in your lawn. Once you get an infestation going, it's almost impossible to get rid of it without killing the rest of your lawn. So technocracy is with us today. It's a fifth column, if you will, marching in, you know, in parallel with everything else, but it is now seeking to take control of the political systems of the world, to implement itself as the premier social engineering control mechanism in the world. Is that a fair assessment, Carl?
I think it is. And you're right. Part of the problem here is we've looked at this as an issue of governance, of politics. But really it's not. It's about management. And instead of global governance, of course, that's euphemism everybody's been using, and rightfully so. That's a part of the process, that's for sure. Realistically, it's not global governance. It's global management. And that's something that's hard then to wrap our minds around in terms of how do we battle this thing. And so, you know, this is something that folks are just waking up to now. They're realizing that the importance of this isn't that it necessarily is seen on, you know, in Capitol Hill, but it's seen now right within my own household. It's seen on the little meter that's sitting outside of my house. It's seen through regulations, through environmental regulations, through land use management policies. It's seen in so many technical areas. And it's the idea we are being regulated to death. Well, you know, now we have the technical ability to make sure that you're regulated to death, that you fit. And this is so important for people to realize. It's all about changing you. It's changing you to fit the machine. And the machine is society at large, ran and operated through this concept of technocracy, the technocratic elite, because there is an elite with it. There is an elite of managers. Today we would call them national and international bureaucrats. That exists. The Trilateral Commission is kind of part and parcel with this. I even looked at it, UNESCO. And if you take a look at the early history of UNESCO, when Julian Huxley wrote his book, UNESCO, Its Purpose and Philosophy, he made it very clear that UNESCO was all about developing a scientific world humanism. That's his term, a scientific world humanism. And so what we're seeing is, you could say, is the end result of a long, long experiment, a long process, one that generated itself first in the mind and now is implemented right within our own lifestyle, and it's done through technology.
Julian Huxley, by the way, was, as I remember, was a brother to Aldous Huxley. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I do believe that's right. And Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World in 1932, which was supposedly just a good old-fashioned science fiction book. But the fact was he was looking square into the eyes of technocracy, which was a big social movement in the United States at that time. And his scientific dictatorship that was described in that book, Brave New World, is exactly where this is headed. This was the idea that they got the picture back then. There was no, I don't think there was any miscalculation on Huxley's part, for instance, to see where that was headed. They did not have the technology to do it at the time. But from a futuristic point of view, they knew the technology would increase. And today, all of a sudden, we have the technology, and lo and behold, boom, we see the implementation coming at us like an express train.
Yes, and Pat, this is important to realize, that there is a historical movement with this. This isn't overnight. I would suggest if folks want to, they could go online to my website, forcingchange.org, and I've got two issues dealing with this particular subject from last year that's downloadable. You have to become members of the site, but it's well worth it. There is a wealth of information. And the two issues of prime importance with this, one's entitled Engineering a New World, Technocracy and Transhumanism, and the other one is Great Scott, The Rise of the Soviet Technicians. And in looking at the background of this, you see B.F. Skinner, the founder and father of behavioral psychology. That was nothing more than a psychology of technocracy. It was all about the process and you as a machine, and how all we need to do is rewire you, reconfigure your mind. You look at H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells he understood what this was about. He was an advocate of it. One of the phrases that is associated with H.G. Wells in terms of technocracy is that this is the Freemasonry of science. It's really startling when you realize just how old this movement actually is. Nazi Germany's really the pinnacle of it. I hate to use that word connected with Nazi Germany. Where Nazi Germany really gets ugly is in the aspect of technocracy, because then even the mass exterminations and killings that were done, when you take a look at it, it was done as a type of technocracy. Efficiency was the name of the game. And Elbert Speer makes that very clear. This is a technocratic system.
That's a good example in Nazi Germany, by the way. Hitler made quite an effort to keep his centers of power separated from each other so that the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing. That was just part of his paranoid governance, I guess. But scholars have now found that there was another column of Hitler's power structure that extended horizontally rather mm-hmm. than vertically. And that was a column of technocracy. And so there were actually technocrats in all of the vertical columns of Hitler's regime. And those technocrats communicated with each other on a horizontal basis. Nobody knew that at the time. It was completely unobserved. And only, you know, like 50 years after the fact have scholars gone back and discovered this and said, this is interesting. But this is the nature of technocracy within a governmental system. It operates quietly behind the scenes often. However, people will argue that without the technocratic influence, Hitler would never have even gotten the first base with his killing machine, for instance, that killed 6 million Jews plus more. Technocracy basically got away scot-free. It never got tagged with any culpability whatsoever for the horror of Nazi Germany. The political columns did. The Nuremberg War Trials, of course, put many people away. But the element of technocracy was completely unobserved until decades later. But it's unmistakable that it was there, and it's unmistakable that it had a key role. The process, as you said, was the key thing. The outcome was secondary. And this is a philosophical thing, by and large. Well, why wouldn't they be concerned with the outcome? Well, when you take God out of the system basically is just a collection of molecules, and they bounce around and interact with each other, and stuff happens, and maybe that's just what was meant to happen. So they feel that if the process is in place, whatever comes out of the other end of the process is automatically given a free pass. Well, it must be okay because it came out of our process. The fact that it, in Nazi Germany, that it killed, set up gas camps and stuff to kill people, was pretty much immaterial. Say, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Today we have Auschwitz, and who knows, tomorrow we have something else. But this is the nature of the amoral nature of technocracy. The process always trumps the end.
That's right. The process actually becomes the god. It is the god, and it becomes the god. This idea, of course, stems back all the way into the 1800s with Henry de St. Simon. And Henry de St. Simon was a philosopher, and one of his counterparts, Auguste Comte, was his protege, and both men are considered today kind of the founders of modern sociology. Well, St. Simon, and this is a direct quote by him, first of all, he believed that men of science, not men of faith, will be the leaders of society. But here's a quote that really strikes at it. Quote, it is obvious that when a new scientific system has been constructed, a reorganization of the religious, political, ethical, and educational systems will take place. Consequently, a reorganization of the church. Now, it's interesting because his idea of the church, he had this new idea of Christianity. And this new idea of Christianity, and he called it literally New Christianity, would pronounce anathema upon theology. And that's his phrase. It would condemn and as unholy any doctrine trying to teach men that there is any other way of obtaining eternal life except that of working with all of their might for the improvement of the conditions of life. It's the idea that the end goal here is what is important. And if Christianity, which puts its emphasis on man created unique by God in the image of God, in the image of a loving God, you wipe that humanity out, you create a new type of religion, a new type of Christianity, one where science and technique becomes the guiding influence, then the doctrine of salvation becomes literally what man's hands can build, what man's hands can do. So you have this idea going all the way back to the Tower of Babel. What was the issue here? What man's hands could do, and the keys that we now hold in terms of life and death over others as well. It's really a frightening thing. It's when you take a look into technocracy at a deep level, you're realizing that what you've got here is a portal into the very belly of hell, and it is, because at the bottom line here is humanity doesn't mean squat. What means everything is the process, the technique, and the outcome.
Just when you think that there's something new under the sun, you discover, no, this is not new under the sun, but many people are not viewing it this way today, and that's why we're sounding an alarm to get people clued into this as to what it is and the nature of it, because I am convinced that there will be no resistance to this movement, if you will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Henry, yeah, St. Simon, sorry to interrupt real quick, but St. Simon, back in the 1800s, I believe 1814, roughly in that era, was suggesting that the world would be ruled by 21 men of science and industry, and that their tools for themselves, why they would do this, it would give them prestige, it would give them wealth, and we would all more or less bow to these 21 leaders of industry and science, and this is how the world would be managed.
I didn't see my name on that list, by the way.
Nobody sent us a memo, did they?
No, I didn't. I wasn't asked.
So somewhere it got lost in the machinery.
That's right. We need to introduce the topic of smart grid here and say why, kind of at least put it out, why this is important. Smart grid, my friends, is the implementation or the enablement of technocracy to work. Remember, one of the requirements was that we need to, or that they need to monitor and every bit of consumption and distribution in the network of energy. And that's what smart grid does. It replaces all of the analog meters on homes and stuff with a digital meter that can communicate with your appliances inside your home and communicate that data back to the power company. And it goes in a two-way fashion, of course, where the power company can reach out and touch someone. And if they want to cut down your thermostat or turn off your washing machine because you're doing it in the middle of the day or whatever, this is the idea of two-way communication. And forget about the promised benefits of you being able to get a better handle on your power consumption. But the idea is control and monitoring of all of your consumption of energy, and to quote unquote to balance the load, the energy load. That's efficiency. That speaks about that efficiency angle. So smart grid is out to completely change and rewire the world today, not just in America, but also all around the world. China, Europe, Great Britain, Canada, Mexico, South America, Asia, all of Asia, India, all of these countries are racing to implement smart grid at the same time, using mostly stimulus money. And folks, we'll be back, and we're going to discuss this in the remaining segment in this hour. But smart grid is the obvious and visible effort by these technocrats, by the technocracy movement, to put the final piece in place to take control of the world system. And if this system is allowed to survive and be implemented, folks, we're cooked. We'll be right back. I'm Patrick Wood, sitting for Darren Weeks. Throw that dial away. Got a lot more coming in the next 2 hours.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
When you turn and find that you're all alone, and the velvet wall at night moves in, wraps around you like a wall of stone.
Upbeat music for an upbeat program on an upbeat day. I'm Patrick Wood, sitting in for Darren Weeks. This is an upbeat topic today, talking about technocracy, because I hope many people are absorbing this and getting an idea that they need to dig deeper. We're talking about, in this last segment, Carl, I'm going to talk about smart grid in particular and how smart grid is the enablement and the implementation of technocracy. It's the last requirement to be met. And I believe that the last smart meter that's put out there on theoretically on some home someday is going to be the day that the gate shuts And they will have all the cards at that point in the deck, and they can deal them any way they want. But the day they get that last smart meter in place where they can monitor and control all of the energy consumption around the world, that will be the day that freedom dies on planet Earth. And I believe very strongly on that. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, not next year necessarily, but it's underway, folks. This is problem. Some of you will remember the Security and Prosperity Partnership that George Bush started with the leaders of Canada and Mexico. The SPP created 22 working groups to normalize or harmonize regulations between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Very secretive working groups, by the way. We had a list of them. One of them had to do with energy and energy policy. And so now we find that smart grid is being implemented in all three countries throughout the United States. You may have a smart meter in your house already and don't even know it because they're not telling you when they put them on. But now we find all of a sudden that there is a comprehensive energy policy across North America that will integrate the smart grids of Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And Carl, since you're a Canadian, that's one of the big benefits of having you on today. How do you feel about being part of the smart grid that's going to be the North American, at least the North American regional smart grid? Does it make you feel smarter or stupider?
It makes me feel a little queasy, Pat. As a Canadian, I am all for Canadian sovereignty. I'm a nationalist in that sense. I believe that Canada needs to determine its own direction based on the will and direction and drive of the Canadian people. Just as an American should look at their own country in the same manner. But what we're talking about here has nothing to do with the Canadian people. This is not about the Canadian people. This is about one end goal, and that is the fast, efficient, and completely automatic movement of energy from one sector of the continent to the other. And it has nothing to do with us as Canadians, whether we're a Canadian citizen or whether you're an American citizen or a citizen of Mexico. This is being done regardless of what you think about this whole situation. And when you took a look at North American regionalization, the idea of SPP, the idea of creating these corridors, and that's something that's almost kind of dropped off the radar for a lot of people, and yet it still exists in a big way. The idea of creating these super corridors across our continent, and the same things are happening in other continents. This is all about energy movement. Complete energy movement.
This segment went awfully fast, and folks, we're up against the top of the hour here. We're going to be back right after this top break, and we're going to take the second hour. Carl, if you care to stay on, Dr. Michael Kaufman is going to be the guest during the second hour. If you are curious or you want to stay in and participate at all in the conversation next hour, you're welcome to stay on. I believe we can do that technically. Oh, oops, I used that before again. You're listening, folks, to the Govern America Show with Darren Weeks. I'm Patrick Wood, editor of August Review and August Forecast, sitting in for him. And we're just barely scratching the topic, but of technocracy and smart grid. We want to discuss it more fully in the next hour and in the third hour as well. Thank you for listening today, folks. I hope you call friends during the break.
Gold ever climbing as the dollar.